This is a Triple M Footy podcast. With all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy, it's Tom Brown's news.
A crazy round one of the 2023 AFL season sees Essendon top of the ladder and Geelong sit 13th, just as we all predicted. My name's Rudy, and to unpack all the week one action, I've got Tom Brown in the studio. Now, Tommy, right off the top, Scott Pendlebury has put the sin bin on the agenda.
Three bump cases over the weekend. I'll get through those shortly. But Scott Pendlebury on Marty Sheargold's show on Triple M this morning has put the sin bin squarely on the agenda. It was arguably the world's silliest weekend to bump because the AFL's got two concussion class actions and two separate concussion cases against them and or clubs at the moment. It's square on the agenda, and Scott Pendlebury had this to say in regards to the sin bin this morning.
I think for years there's been the question around, are we going to punish the outcome or the action? Mm. And where do we live? And we still live in the outcome, punishing the outcome, which I think, yeah, rightly or wrongly, I don't agree with that. I think it should be the action that gets punished. That's, you know, they're not football actions. But I think it's something that we need to get rid of out of our game. And but this chat's been going on for 5 or 6 years. And watching the NRL, if there's stuff like that happens, is, you know, they get sin bin plays. And I don't mind that for our game. You know, like say if Pickett was to get sin bin, so it's a complete disadvantage. Now you play 17 v 18.
For 10 minutes.
Like, yeah, for 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Rudy, this ignites the old sin bin debate. The pro is clearly it would provide a disincentive to, well, king hit, and certainly in this case, bump. The con, if you like, or the drawback of that, is that under the current rules, and this is up for debate, you are allowed to bump. In Cozzy Pickett's case, if he'd got Bailey Smith all in the body, even if he launched, that wouldn't necessarily be a problem. A lot of discussion over the weekend about him going up on two legs. There's nothing in the rules at the moment, and you could change this, saying he can't launch off two legs. So the bump is alive. So if you run into this integrity issue then as who makes the call on the sin bin and how do you adjudicate it? Do you have a panel? Do the umpires do it? I'm not dissing Pendle's idea. I'm just pointing out that there's a lot of negatives, if you like, associated, in my view, with the sin bin around taking some of the game's players out if you accept the bump is still alive, because it all comes down to the level of contact then with the head.
And you did mention that it's an inopportune time, to say the least, to bump. There is lawsuits on the table, and Gary Ablett has spoken about his own issues over the weekend. Gary Ablett Sr., that is.
Yeah, Gary Ablett Sr., in the Herald yesterday with John Anderson, listed his own concussion concerns, the history being that in 2010 or 2011, according to Ablett, he had some bad symptoms. They worsened in 2015. Recently, he went to his old manager, Peter Jess, who's also a renowned concussion campaigner, and sought some advice in that regard. And he's gone off for tests. And according to Ablett, in this article with John Anderson of the Herald Sun, those tests have shown some severe brain damage, which Ablett says is associated with concussion. What is he after? He's been to the Players Association and sought some money or some help. He can't hold down a job at the moment, according to Ablett. They haven't got back to Ablett, according to Ablett, which he thinks, in light of his contribution to the game, is, in his view, disrespectful. He's arguably the game's most famous player for the best part of 10 or so years, or certainly one of them. It's my understanding also that Ablett could be included as a general plaintiff in Peter Jess and Greg Griffin's class action, which is set to be lodged officially, I think, this week or next week. I went to the Hawthorne 1983 reunion lunch yesterday and asked for some views on Ablett's career. He was a renowned boxer. I'm not suggesting boxing caused it, but he was famously tough in his day, Gary Ablett. He had that huge collision with Dipper, obviously, in the 1989 grand final. Ablett said he had 8 or 10 separate concussions. And I also learnt yesterday, speaking to some of the previous Hawthorn players, that the AFL's also been canvassing the medical histories of some of that era of players as well, about 120 of them. I spoke to Terry Wallace about that on our news last night. But Gary Ablett could be a plaintiff now in these AFL in one of the AFL class actions, at least in terms of being a general plaintiff, and he'd certainly be a high-profile one. And Peter Jess is working on that at the moment. So that's an interesting case surrounding Gary Ablett. I'm working on some separate concussion stories this week, which I'll bring you on this podcast. There's a potential now that wives and partners and children could be joined in the Cath Tuck Supreme Court litigation. Peter Jess is exploring that, which will be illegal first. And there's also a suggestion they're working on concussion cases and a class action for second tier and secondary players across the competitions, which is similar to what's happening in some of the UK sports. So there's a massive amount happening in that space.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just in terms of the MRO, there'll be a lot of discussion this afternoon about Shane McAdam. There's a chance that could go straight to the tribunal, Rudy. It could be deemed careless, high, and even severe impact if it's upgraded to impact categories on the potential to cause serious injury. That's the key one with the Pickett yesterday. He got 2 weeks because the impact was upgraded on account of the potential to cause injury. Melbourne's accepted that. Sydney's accepted Buddy's 1 week ban. The essence there, Buddy elected to bump. The rules require the player to go down and try and grab the ball as opposed to elect to bump. As soon as you elect to bump, you're taking your MRO situation into your own hands, Rudy.
Every Wednesday, it's Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
It feels like I'm coming out to fight.
Joey Montagna, Daisy Thomas and Damien Barrett break down anything and everything AFL. The Midweek Rub. Get it every Wednesday by following Triple M Footy on the Listener app.
Now, Tommy, there was some high-profile injuries on Friday night, the Geelong-Collingwood game. Tom Stewart with a knee, Sam De Koning went down as well, and Jeremy Howe badly broke his arm. Have you got an update on these?
Yeah, I do. Stewart, Geelong's just released and confirmed that he'll miss the best part of a month with a medial strain. That's relatively good news insofar as it looked like he was in a heavy knee brace on Friday night. So, look, not good for Stewart, not good for Geelong in terms of the next month or so, but it's not super serious. So that's good news as far as that's concerned. But it's a medial strain and a mid-grade one, I understand. In terms of De Koning, we'll learn more about that this afternoon. He sort of bounced on the spot in the pocket at the punt road end. It was a bit of a mystery that he was able to play out the game, but a bit of a concern as far as the Cats are concerned. And Jeremy Howe was a sickening incident. He remains in hospital today, I think set to be discharged from that arm surgery. Collingwood, I just spoke to them, haven't put a time frame on that at the minute. It was a compound dislocation of the forearm. It looked sickening at the time, Rudy, just for some context. I was doing the boundary for Triple M, and I couldn't see the replay because Seven didn't show it after the first time. And basically, I thought he might have hurt his shoulder or even his neck at one stage because his legs were convulsing and or certainly moving a lot. And the Medicart came out. So, look, I would never say that a dislocated arm's a good result, but compared to what it could have been given the angle he came down, given the concerns initially, that was the situation in the end.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's news.
Now, Tommy, the Giants got off to a flying start on the weekend in footy terms, beating Adelaide in a great comeback, but the crowd was a bit disappointing there. What's the AFL think?
I'll start with a positive, Rudy. The AFL's crowd over the weekend was 392,000, which they told me last night is the third highest round attendance in AFL-VFL history. So an absolute positive in that regard. The Giants crowd at the stadium, albeit in 34 or 35 degree heat, was 8,100. That will be a discussion point this week. I'll give you some background to this. I won't sort of bog you down in detail, but I've been sort of tracking this over the last couple of months or so. The AFL is aware of the engagement issue in the west of Sydney. They staged a bit of a commercial intervention last December. They sort of took over the marketing function at the club. They're trying to get staff on the ground and some more traction in Western Sydney in particular. And Gil McLaughlin and Andrew Dillon visited last Monday. They had dinner with Dave Matthews, the Giants CEO, working on this crowd and engagement issue. And I reckon the commission could make changes at the Giants at the end of the year if they can't arrest this crowd issue in Western Sydney. That's a long way down the track. The Giants, for their part, did have a big marketing rollout approved by the AFL pre-COVID. It didn't happen during COVID. Now they're paying the price in terms of some participation and crowd numbers and all the rest of it. The Giants have made significant football improvements. We saw those over the weekend, and I think the feeling is hopefully if they win some games, that should increase the interest in Western Sydney and try and get some bums on seats. In terms of what I hear in Sydney, a lot of the players and officials do live in the more expensive suburbs. It's not like a lot of them are living in the west of Sydney. I guess that's they're entitled to, but that's a bit of an issue, I guess. And, you know, there's also a view, I think, that the Giants are pushing further and further into Sydney's areas. This is an interesting one. I heard a proposal or just an idea from the Giants over summer that perhaps they could include Sydney somewhere in their name, and that might broaden the their interest levels. That would go down like a load of bricks at the Sydney Swans. I reckon they'd sue over that. So that won't be happening anytime soon. And that's sort of where it sits at the moment. So hopefully, for the Giants' sake, they start winning some more games, certainly playing attractive footy under Adam Kingsley. They did in the second half yesterday, and hopefully that could arrest their crowd issues.
This is Tom Brown's news, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Hear it first on Listener.
All right, Tommy, let's close up with some burning questions from the weekend. Number one, right off the top, how much of a difference does a good coach make?
Good coaches make a difference, Rudy. It's not rocket science. Ross Lyon, St Kilda, Brad Scott, Essendon, Alistair Clarkson, North, Adam Kingsley, GWS, first-time coaches at those clubs. all won over the weekend, producing exciting football and great for their supporters.
Yes, and lots of them in dramatic circumstances as well. Now, a question I want to know is, which team do you feel had the worst weekend? Few options here. Brisbane, they got belted in the third quarter by Port Adelaide. The Bulldogs really struggled to get into the game against Melbourne. Fremantle, a fade out against a very injury-stricken St Kilda, as we signposted last week. And then bit off-Broadway, but Gold Coast really got spanked by Sydney.
Yeah, I want to give Brisbane the benefit of the doubt. They're playing away. I'll give them at least a couple of weeks to get their ducks in a row. I think the Gold Coast were the most disappointing for mine, Rudy. I think Sydney's obviously a very good side. We keep hearing about the Gold Coast progress. They re-signed their coach. All that's all good and all the rest of it, but they were very disappointing at home on the weekend.
Now, Tommy, I know this one's close to your heart. Are the Pies even better than 2022?
It looks that way. Tom Mitchell, who's a previous Brownlow medalist, hit the scoreboard. He kicked 2 goals. He helps DeGoey. Their recruits, Brad Hill, kicked 3 goals. Nick Dacos had 35 touches. He's a potential Brownlow medalist. And I like the improvement of guys like McCreary and also Reef McInnes, who kicked a couple of goals each. The Pies are arguably, Rudy, or at least hopefully for the sake of their supporters, better than last year. One round of evidence.
All right. Now, finally, Tommy, 7:30. Is that too early for a job interview?
You're referring to the fact that Brendan Gale and Kylie Rogers in the race for Gil McLaughlin's job both did 7:30 a.m. interviews on Friday and Saturday. I reckon they do that at midnight to get that job. Gil McLaughlin's coveted job. They're both busy. They perhaps didn't mind doing it, but it's a good one for the audience, isn't it? Is 7:30 a.m. too good, too early for an interview? The context was that the AFL had to get up to the Gold Coast to go to their chairman's last game as chairman. So a couple of those interviews over the weekend, really. I reckon it's a bit early, Rudy.
Wow, it's a bit early for anything for me, mate. On that note, we'll leave that there. We'll be back later in the week for a lot more news because it never stops happening. Thanks, Tommy.
Cheers, Rudy.
That was Tom Brown's news. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more and subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener or wherever you listen to get all our podcasts throughout the season. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.